So those who believe in him will receive, okay? Now, if I ask you, you know Jehovah's Witness?
Yes.
They believe in Jesus, eh?
Yes.
Do they have the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I don't believe in it.
No, do they have the Holy Spirit? Do you think they have the Holy Spirit?
Myself. Yes.
No, I'm Jehovah with you.
No.
Why not? They are not believers. They believe what is just the same
as you. You get what I'm saying? Okay, I ask you, what about the Roman Catholic Church?
Yes.
Do they have the Holy Spirit?
Some.
No, you said some.
Yes.
How do you know?
How do I know? Because there are some who believe in charismatic. Some don't believe in charismatic. It's like there are two churches in one church. According to my understanding, I don't know.
Okay, from here, question I told you to believe. You see, so, when you talk about belief, there are two points here. You need to believe that Jesus is the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you need to believe in His Word. The world of the whatever the Bible teaches, you must follow. That is the reason. Okay, now we turn to Galatians. We read chapter 3. Now we read verse 2. And then we read verse 5. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, now I read now. This only I want to learn from you, if you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Obviously, the answer is by the hearing of faith. Yeah? Now, according to Romans, hearing of faith means what? Hearing of the word. Okay? So meaning, if you listen to the word of God, I mean, correct preaching, right? Then you will receive the Holy Spirit. If you have not heard the word of God, you will not receive. Okay? Anything from here. Is it not true?
Yes.
Now, today there are so many Christians, they all say that they have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? Now, how are we going to discern? Now, we look at 1 John, right? Chapter 4. Verse 6, yeah? Now, we are of God. We refers to who? Apostle, yeah? Because this book is written by John, Elder John, right? So when he says we are of God, he says apostle are of God. He who knows God hears the apostle. He who is not of God does not hear the apostle. Okay? By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, this is how you discern. Anyone who says that he has the Holy Spirit, he must be someone who listens to the words of the apostles. Now, the apostle talk about baptism in the name of Jesus. If someone believes in the name, baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, do you think you have the Holy Spirit? Moses, you understand what I'm saying? Surely he doesn't have. Is that not true? He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. It's how you judge. Okay, now, the prophet, the Old Testament scripture says we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Yeah? Jesus also said we need to keep the commandments to inherit life. You know? Even the apostle said we need to keep the commandments. Okay? 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3 and verse 4. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay? You know God because you keep the commandments. Meaning, if you don't keep the commandments, you don't know God. Simple as that, yeah? And the commandment includes the fourth commandment. The Sabbath is on Saturday, not Sunday. Okay? that. Okay? Now, verse 4.
That's another teaching now.
I'm trying to tie that.
Yes.
Verse 4. Mm-hmm. He who says, I know him, know God, and does not keep his commandment, is a very serious thing. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, who is a... You know, Satan is a liar, isn't he? He's the father of all life. Yeah? Mm. And here he says, he who does not keep the commandment is a liar. Very serious. Right? Now, how can a liar say that he has a mistake?
By not knowing that he did.
Okay, it's very simple. I don't keep the Sabbath, I don't keep the Ten Commandments. I say now it's under grace, I can do whatever I want, I'm free from the law, right? I don't do anything, I don't keep it. And I say, I have the Holy Spirit. According to John, no, you're a liar. You think a liar is only... I mean, because you are going to another lesson. Jesus does not have the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. That's why he said, one body, one spirit. Only those who know the truth, who have been given the truth, it's not that they are better than others, it's just that they submit to the Word of God. That's why they are given the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? To be honest about it, eh? If you look at the Bible, you know this foundation is the truth, isn't it? So the foundation is the truth, and Jesus himself is the truth. Is there also? Okay, I'll show you a verse. Eh? I want you to read the scripture. Chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3, we read the verse. Sorry, chapter 4. I think this verse is crucially important, right? It says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Now, the last part is said what? As the truth is in Jesus, isn't it? The truth is in Jesus of okay. Moses. If you are not in Jesus, can you know the truth? How can you be in Jesus? You'll be baptized into Christ. So your baptism must be done so that you can be in there, in Jesus. And when you are in Jesus, you will be given the truth. So can a person who is not in Jesus know the truth, the full truth? Not possible. You understand what I'm coming from? That's it. If you have, if the person, or if the body of Christ, those who are within the body of Christ, they will know because the Spirit will guide them to know the truth. Okay, I want you to read Colossians. Yeah? Colossians chapter 2. Verse 3. Yeah? Verse 3. Now, Colossians 2, 3, in whom, mean in Jesus, because the previous verse is talking about Jesus there. So in whom, mean in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you have not been baptized into Christ, correctly, spiritually speaking, you don't know the truth. You don't know the truth. This again, we said it's not because we are better, because we submit to the word and we are baptized into Christ. That's why we come to know. That's it. If you are not in it, you cannot know.
Islami ne sun ji fa amma ba ra gina fara shi ka fiye na kuma ne don gurin da nare ya san ba ya shi na kungi ku ja da ji pujo kin yi kowa ron dare inga no ben tan ji ka tike ji ne ta ji na ba yo ba ron dare ba ron dare kuma bua mun tan ji dai kare
At the time when he young brother came to see him at Hafura, that he was sick, and he was at the time I was praying to that God may direct him to know how a leader should be.
For me, Kyoga Jire, what I should be a poor way of the journey.
At the time, in the night, in the during the sleep, he saw two words. Yes, him. Two words written.
I'm going to read in a poem. I'm going to read one answer. Pal moment.
He fasted on this point.
No, I should be a condom. I'm going to come on my way. There with sanctification, ne purification. I'm going to be a condom. I'm going to be a condom. I'm going to be a condom.
He said, as he was in the sleep, two words appeared, sanctification and purification. What do these two words mean? In his dream, these two words appeared.
You know, I'm always making one period more difficult, no? I'm going to be busy, but I'm going to be okay, but...
At the time, he was very busy when he explained the dream to him. He told him the dream to the brother.
So, I'm going to tell you that 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 I'm going
to thought God said to him, say, for him to be a leader, should be sanctified and purified and passing through such teachings as the ones is now being taught today.
Kinore sawan so we rapano, mamba kumuna kuwamba. Anji pujeke chini ba peri kumbura mbiri na ba pembira. Kiri kumbura. Sana yuka na bapano. Wafu na kumbura kupitira mulo we na kufunishwa.
He did not explain the meaning of the dream, but today. Through the teachings, I think that's the way God is now trying to tell him what he should do. Maybe I'm glad.
The explanation the pastor has explained to me, that's true, yes. Now I have this question, because in his explanation he mentioned the 10 commandments. Now he said that if you don't follow those commandments, don't keep those commandments, then you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Is this true? Yes. Now let me just ask you, do you keep those 10 commandments without breaking not even one?
If I were to rely on myself, then I can never keep it. Okay? But today, before I answer your question, I want you to look at Romans first to make sure that we have to keep it in mind. Okay. You know, if I break the commandment, it doesn't mean that the commandment is not necessary. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? If I cannot keep the commandment, my inability to keep the commandment does not nullify the keeping of the commandment.
November.
Okay. Now, I want you to read the Romans. You read a few verses just to confirm that commandment has to be kept. Read Romans chapter 3. Okay. You read verse 31, yeah, the last verse. To read and make void the law through faith, certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Okay. Right. Establish, make it stronger. Huh? Okay, well, you read 1 Corinthians 7. Circumcision is nothing, and circumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. That commandment, you have to keep the commandments of God. Now, just as I've shown you 1 John chapter 2, if we say we know God, we keep the commandments. Chapter 2 verse 2 and verse 4. So, throughout the Bible, New Testament scriptures, we are told that we need to keep the commandments. Now, how are we going to keep the commandment? I'm going to read Romans chapter 8. Okay, you read restore. Chapter 8, restore. Now, that the righteous requirement of the law, meaning the essence of the law, which is the commandment, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Yeah? So, the key point here is the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So, if you have the Spirit, you yield to the Spirit, giving the commandment is not a problem. If I yield to the Spirit, it's not a problem. You're so free. You find that keeping the commandment actually is loving God. Because this is what the Bible says. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, the crucial point is, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you don't have, surely you will fail. But if I have the Holy Spirit, God is there to help me because I submit to God. I'm given the power to keep. That's why Paul says, yeah? After you have believed in Jesus, you don't nullify the law. You don't do away with the law. Instead, you must all the more enhance the law. Meaning, because you are given the power and capacity to keep it. That's why to us, I'm saying, those who truly yield to the Holy Spirit, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. Don't hate, no wicked thought in the mind. No false accusation or anything. Nothing. Because the Spirit shows you. To us, to yield to the Spirit, we find that keeping the commandment is a joy. Serious. You read the verse, First John 5. First John chapter 5. Verse 3, Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment is not burdensome. Meaning it's easy. How is it easy? When you have the Holy Spirit. When you submit to the Spirit, it's easy. Obviously, if you move away from the Spirit, without God, everything is difficult. That's why if you look at non-Christian, you see that practically they break every commandment. This is quite unimaginable because the Bible is saying that keeping the commandment is not burdensome.
not that doesn't mean you can just do it very simply. How is it it becomes not physical? Spirit is not physical.
To follow the time that you were praying, I failed to connect myself to you. I was alone. I don't know, convince me again. I don't know the type that you are praying. Because if I read in Corinthians, it says, Paul says, you can pray in tongues. Yes, but others, if you are not understanding, that prayer means something, or maybe it's achieving something. Because you can only achieve something if someone is getting what you are praying. Mm-hmm. Because if you come to me, you start praying in tongues, and then I don't listen.
It's a learned tongue.
No, I'm not serious, but I'm just giving an example. Yes.
This is very common to my ears. Familiar, it sounds familiar.
Okay, now, if I'm not getting much of a praying, then I don't know if I can heal. Unless if I'm connected, I'm listening to your prayer. That's because the Bible says in John, we have read that in the beginning there was a word, and that word was with God, and that word was God. Amen. Amen. Meaning that if I believe in God, then I'm connected to Him. I've joined Him. If I listen to the way you explained to me, for me to follow, to join, unless I listen to your way, the way you have preached to me. If you are not listening, then I cannot connect it to your way.
Okay.
So, for me, to receive maybe healing or anything that I want, at least maybe I'm understanding what you are praying. So I don't know.
you know what you are saying. What you are saying, I think it's not wrong, because you are thinking about something else. You know, I just leave it. One tongue, two functions. One is tongue in prayer. The other one is what you are saying. Charismatic tongue. Tongues in teaching, prophesying. But we are not talking about this. We are talking about tongues in prayer. Tongues in prayer as the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, if you look at, I show you a verse, Acts chapter 10.
Although I'm off topic.
No problem.
Don't you understand if she was a problem?
Yeah.
This guy was with us. So I want to learn everything before I leave this place. Verse 12. Yes.
Okay, we read verse 44.
Just John.
Thanks.
Alright.
Okay, 44. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. All those, every one of them, okay? We do not know how many of them, but it could be many, okay? Now, verse 43, and those of the circumcision who believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile also. Now, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues, and magnified what that Peter answered. Okay? Now, this is the tongue that we are talking about. You find that no interpreting is mentioned, and there's no interpreting required here. Why? According to 1 Corinthians, you are not talking to man. When you are praying, you are not talking to man. And when you are praying, I will not listen to what you are saying to God. There is no need for that, because it's between you and God. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why here, when they were listening to the sermon, the Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, not one or two or three. All of them. Okay?
Yes.
And here we see that there is no confusion, because we are talking about tongues in prayer, not tongues in
preaching.
Two different things. You understand what I'm saying? That's why Peter said, hey, can anyone forbid water that they should be baptized? Who have received the Holy Spirit just as we?
Yeah.
Now, you see that when they first received the Holy Spirit, they were also prayerfully waiting for the coming of the Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and 2. You understand what I'm saying? And Peter said, hey, these people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. This is not coming in future. Okay? You get what I'm saying now? Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, chapter 14. Now, I want you to first read verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. You see now? That's why there's no need for me to listen to the prayer. Because you are not talking to me, you are talking to God. That's why? For no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks mystery. You see now? Okay, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So, now, for example, now I speak in tongue to all of you, yeah? And God moved me to understand my tongue, and he what? He interprets my tongue into your language. You understand what I'm saying? And therefore, you understand. In that sense, I'm prophesying. You get what I'm saying? Through him, I'm prophesying, because you understand. You know what I'm saying now? Right? Okay. Now, quickly, we go to verse 27. Now, in the church, huh? Verse 27. If anyone speak in a tongue, this is talking about preaching in tongue now. If anyone speak in a tongue, let that be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. That's why you need interpreting. If I preach in tongues without interpreting, my tongue is useless. My tongue is like empty noises to me. Okay? That's what interpreting is. Now, verse 28. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Back to prayer. One tongue, two functions. Can you see that? But we are not talking about preaching in tongues. We are talking about prayer. Yes. That's why when we pray, we are not talking to you, we're talking to God. That's it.
The scripture says if you finish praying, you have to say amen, meaning that you have agreed. But this is what your friend is praying. That's it.
Okay, I know which one you are talking about. Yeah? Yes. I think I know which one you are talking about. I think you are talking about verse 16. Otherwise, if we bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed says, amen, as your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you said. Now, this one, the target is who? People. Because you say to them, you give them so that they can understand what you're saying. So your target is people. That's why you cannot say in tongues. But if your thanksgiving is to God only, for yourself, then there's no interpreting required. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So if the target is people, interpreting is required. Otherwise, there's no need. You just have to go.
If I pray, I don't need you to say amen for my prayer. Because between me and God, if I preach in tongues, or if I preach a sermon, then I need to preach in words of understanding, so that you can say amen.
Now one guy didn't confirm the statement he said, but now when you are praying in time, I won't be here with you, just because I'm not getting on to you. But as you know, suppose you're praying for the dead person, would you expect to hear the way you're praying that way to be resurrected?
Yes, in spirit.
So that's how it is. Even for example, I can just give you a practical example with him. He's a white man, isn't he? And then if he goes to Western province where there are losses, others that are not even educated, when he's praying for them, they can't even get what he's saying. Now, do you think they can't be healed just because they are not understanding what he's saying? Yeah, that's what he was just saying, because when he's praying to God that he should heal the sick. And he is not praying to the sick. He are directly saying, you are doing what work. That's a different from prayer. As he was just saying, preaching is different from prayer. If he goes to Western province right now alone, without an interpreter, people won't even get in. They will be just going. Now, what is this man? He's crazy. How can he speak out? Because they can't even get anything. Even myself, if I go to Japan, I don't know about Japanese. But do you think I'll be just a quack because I'm among Japanese? I'll pray, and God will hear me just because I'm talking there. Yeah. But if I speak kilos in Japan, then it's in vain. So that's how it is. There's prayer and preaching that people can say. Even the way we are. If they say, pray for us. They are quiet and they tell me to pray. I cannot pray in time. Isn't it? Just go in tongues and then say amen. There's a public prayer also and the personal prayer. There are two different things. For example, the Pino. They say, we ask Mr. So-so to pray or brother so-so to pray. Then you are going direct in tongues. It won't make any sense. So that's how it is. You know, one thing which will take many people to hell, it's because they've put themselves on the level where they've started thinking they're enjoying the things of God, they know everything and they cannot subject themselves to God, the things of God. And they're not willing to learn, you know. If you tell a bishop from other church today to say, no, this is the way, he will just first portray a picture of me being a bishop. 40 years in the ministry, performing in miracles. So, you mean I'm not saved? All those questions. So, instead, they should do like Nicodemus did. He went at night to Jesus. That's what he did. So, people should learn to be submissive.
Moses, by the way, deacon means slave, so forget about deacon.
Deacon
means slave.
So, you're 7 years.
Yes.
Careful. Like that. Better help. You say better help. Because I'm a bishop, everyone knows that I'm a bishop. nothing. Salvation is present. Wake up your own salvation and fear the trembling. That's what the Bible says. Fear the trembling.
Let your brother help you.
Sorry?
Let your brother help you. Yes. Now, I don't know my prayers. I don't know how I can explain it, so that you can understand what I want to say.
In short, you are saying, are they the answers from God or from the devil? To be emphatic,
hitting the wall.
Yeah, because every time,
according to your explanation, you have said, I just said to make anything up on you, ma. Can I kill income money? So now I'm going to say, as in Avia too, it was in vain. But now I've come to know
that true.
Yes, now. I am mask yuna ipujanga ya nkambo wa waita ya fumanga pina ngu nkambo ya waita wanga
what is so messy
for? I don't know.
Okay, yes. He says he all along he has been praying to God, and God has been answering his prayers. Now, according to your explanation, you said only when you know the truth, that's when God can answer you correctly, if that's what you say. Amen. Now, that's why I came in to say, no, God is so merciful, we can even answer your answer in one way or another. So,
I think that the key point here is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there are Christians who are sincere Christians. You know, Cornelius, before his conversion, his prayer, which book? If you read the text of 10,
chapter 10, yes.
Ketua ministry.
There was a certain man.
A gift.
Caesarea called from the U.S. centurion who was called the devout man and one who feared God before his humble, who gave up generously to people and prayed to God always. We found that he prayed to God always, and people were just saying his prayer actually was God. Now, I believe God does answer prayer at times, even though you may not have known it. Okay. But sometimes the important thing is that you must not be misled into thinking that, because God has been answering my prayer, therefore I must have the truth. You understand what I'm saying? And that is not true according to Acts chapter 10. Right? Cornelius' prayer reached God, but does it?
from what was he said? No.
Mm.
Yeah? That's why he still needs to go through baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So, in fact, if you feel that God has been answering your prayer, then you should all the more respond more positively to the word of God. Right? Because I think God has been gracious. He wants you to know that, that He is like, you know, He is there, you know, for you, you know, to ask Him or whatever. But most crucially, it's for salvation. You still need to go through the process. But that's the requirement.
Actually, the same verse, chapter 10 of Acts, verse, starting from verse 1, coming from verse 4, he says, his prayers, Cornelius' prayers, became memorial before God. For that reason, he said, sent men to Joppa to look for one Simon. He will tell you what to do. Because this, yes, you have been doing. You were right, their scripture. But now, send men to Joppa to look for one Simon. He will tell you what to do. For Peter, he will tell you something to do. And what did he say? He just prayed salvation to him. He received the Holy Spirit. That's how he was baptized. So these, they were just memorials before that. And these, your fasting, your prayers, your what, the answering of your prayers, can prevent you even from dying premature death. Why? Waiting for salvation to come.
Mm.
And this is the salvation which has just come.
And this is why Peter today is here.
that's what I mean. And this is the real problem. Because they are memorials. Oh, no, don't touch this one. No. You need to hear this first.
Mm. That's my blanket.
Yeah. You are in the reserve for something. There's something you need to do. Then you need to do.
You should remove the picture in order to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the way. Maybe you can pray with your brother, pray for the Holy Spirit when you get home. And God is gracious. Because God knows our heart, He searches our heart. If you are sincere, you will see the Holy Spirit.
Says I'll be the one receiving the Holy Spirit.
Oh. Two things. Pray. I think we'll read the Gospel of Luke 11.
Luke chapter 11.
Okay. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? You need to ask Him. Yeah? Now, one more. This is very important. Go to Acts chapter 5. We read verse 32, and we are His witnesses to this thing, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. So if you don't obey, you will not receive. So today you have heard the truth, so your heart should be that you want to obey. If you are thinking that I just want the Holy Spirit but I don't want to obey, you won't get the Holy Spirit.
He will pour you the reason to hear the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesu Kristo naomba twamtoto hapa kwa kupenda kwa usemani twamtoto na kulashani hapo kutoka kwa kulashani twamtoto na paru 7.